Hello, and welcome to our Secular Overeaters podcast series, where you'll hear from speakers who have found recovery from food and other addictions without God. For additional information, go to secularovereaters.org. And now let's get to today's podcast.
Welcome to the Secular Meetings Comparative 12-Step Study Group. My name is AJ, and I'm a binger and the facilitator for today. The purpose of this group is to discuss the 12 steps, one at each meeting, and to share our personal experiences with the step or anything related to the theme of the step. Many of us are inspired by the 12-step approach, but find that some of the original language and concepts don't align with our personal beliefs. During this meeting, we will read several different interpretations of the steps and discuss, as the varied individuals we are, what makes sense to us and what helps our recovery. As always, please take what you like and leave the rest. This group does allow crosstalk, but please make sure it is supportive. We don't have time limits on these shares, so please be aware of how many people are in the meeting and be mindful of the length of your share. Would someone start and read a couple of steps and say pass?
We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. That's step one of the alternative 12 steps for overeaters. Step two, came to believe and to accept that we needed strengths beyond our awareness and resources to restore us to sanity. Step three, made a decision to entrust our will and our lives to the care of the collective wisdom and resources of those who have searched before us. Pass.
Okay, Matt.
Step four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Step five, admitted to ourselves without reservation and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Step six, we're ready to accept help and letting go of all our defects of character. Pass.
Okay, Tam.
Step seven, with humility and openness, sought to eliminate our shortcomings. Step eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Step nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Pass.
Thanks. Amanda?
Step 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Step 11, sought through meditation to improve our spiritual awareness and our understanding of the OA way of life and to discover the power to carry out that way of life. Step 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive eaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs.
Okay, great. This month, we will be discussing step two. We will be reading eight versions of the step: the OA traditional, freethinker, Buddhist, Cleveland atheist, humanist, practical, proactive, and SOS secular organization for sobriety. These sources can be found in the literature and websites listed in the chat and in the guide link. Please take a turn reading a version of the step and say pass when you are finished. Okay, Linda.
OA principle is hope. Traditional OA, aim to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Freethinker, came to believe and to accept that we need a strength beyond our awareness and resources to restore us to sanity. Pass.
Andrew?
Buddhist, came to believe that a power other than self could restore us to wholeness. Cleveland, came to believe that spiritual resources can provide power for restoration and healing. Humanist, we believe that we must turn elsewhere for help. Pass.
Thank you, Andrew. Trang?
Practical. Trusted that a healthy lifestyle was attainable through social support and consistent self-improvement. Proactive. I understand that I cannot force change through willpower. I need to disentangle my life patiently. SOS. I believe that a power within myself, in tandem with supports and strengths beyond my own awareness and resources, can restore me to a healthier, more balanced, and positive state of mind, body, and soul. Pass.
Thanks. Okay. We are now open for discussion about the steps. What does step two mean to you, and what are your impressions of the different versions we just read? Who would like to begin? Okay, Matt.
Matt, compulsive overeater and chronic addict. The most important one of these to me, or the one that most speaks to me, is the proactive. I understand that I cannot force change through willpower. I need to disentangle my life patiently. Yeah, patience has been difficult for me. I want immediate fixes, which doesn't work. And I've spent decades trying to change myself and improve myself and take care of my problems through willpower. And yeah, it definitely hasn't worked for me. So it was kind of a big step for me to, actually join OA to ask for help, to recognize that I needed help and ask for help. And it's been good. It's been pretty successful. And I guess that's all I have to say about that. It has worked for me. That one is very clearly what I've been needing and what I've been doing. And with that, I will pass.
Okay. Thank you, Matt. Okay. Jenny?
I'm always really drawn to the principles because I love how concise they are. And, in the OA principle, it's not religious here. It's hope. And I do feel like by coming into OA and hearing everybody's stories, it did give me, hope that maybe I could also change and have my life change through the 12 steps. I really do like the free thinker one, came to believe and to accept that we needed strengths beyond our awareness and resources to restore us to sanity. I really, to me, this speaks a lot to the peer aspects of our community, that, we get support from each other, and whether that might be from a sponsor, from an accountability buddy, from other members of the community, that's really, what has helped me, not getting on my knees and praying to God, but to be able to have people that I can count on, just to even to commiserate with me. And I also like the part about resources to restore us to sanity, because to me, these are things like our books and our podcasts. And, those are just really important. And I think this is one of the reasons I have issues with traditional OA, is because, within those meetings, the traditional meetings, we're not allowed to talk about, or to study these other resources that can be so beneficial to secular people. I really did get, something out of each one of these. I'm not really that much of a spiritual person, so those spoke less to me, but I still, could see that they're important. And I just like the simplicity of the humanist. We believe that we must turn elsewhere for help. We're not going to solve our problems, which in my case would have been by, eating endless bags of chocolate chips. That's not going to help. I have to figure out some other kind of resource, and it's not going to be going back to, some kind of diet program either. So anyway, I do like all these steps. Pass.
Thanks, Jenny. And Andrew?
Hi, my name is Andrew, compulsive overeater, and the practical one really resonated with me. I trusted that a healthy lifestyle was attainable through social support and consistent self-improvement. I think for me, where traditional OA misses, and this is my experience, is there appears to be like a lack of self-accountability. Like it's, this can only be achieved through, surrendering to a higher power. And that's not part of my belief system. So I get kind of lost in that. So it's nice to get these other perspectives. So pass.
Okay, great. Thank you. And Dina?
Thank you. I'm Dina from Baltimore Overeater. I like the free thinker. Come to believe and to accept that we needed strength beyond our awareness. And then just a little bit the healthy lifestyle of the practical. My diagnosis of fibromyalgia and my time to hear about Overeaters Anonymous came basically at the same time. So for me, they're very synonym. The fact that I need a healthy lifestyle, not only because of weight and the way I react and the way I've always been, but also to begin with a practical new lifestyle of food to keep my whole body and mind healthy. Beyond our awareness, for me, is I was never aware, didn't know it exists. It's so much deeper than what I ever would have thought to have power and resources that I can reach out to and say help. I was always a fairly independent person. So for me to rely on a meeting like this and a telephone and connection was just beyond me. So it's such a joy for me to discover new levels of consciousness, new levels of connections and depth. This program is really, for me, not about the weight. I never believed it when I came in. I thought, yeah. But in the end, it is really enriching me. So I am very grateful that we have so many versions that we can read and just get so much more from everything in life. Thank you.
Thank you, Dina. Amanda?
Hi, everyone. I'm Amanda, compulsive overeater and food addict. Okay, so I'm still relatively new to the OA program in general and to SecOA. I've known about OA for years, but this step two, was always the thing that stopped me from following through and trying OA. Because of the higher power aspect, it was very isolating to me. I am very, I don't want to say anti-religion because that's not the right word, but I'm very, like, I have a very negative reaction towards anything that has religious connotations. And so this was always a barrier for me to seeking help. And I really enjoyed a lot of these principles, but one that really stuck out to me is the SOS version, because I feel like it's the most nuanced. And I feel like it provides the most amount of personal accountability while also being compassionate to the fact that I can't do it on my own. So I need to seek help through other resources. I feel like it's really well balanced and it's comprehensive and very nuanced. So I appreciate having these alternative steps because it's comforting for someone like me who has a very visceral reaction to religious stuff. I really appreciate these steps and I appreciate having this collection of steps and being able to pull from them. So that's all I have. I will pass. Thank you.
Okay, great. Thanks, Amanda. Linda?
Hi, my name is Linda, compulsive and emotional overeater. I also like all of these versions, but what stuck with me today was the proactive one and this word disentangle my life. And after a while in the program, I realized like life was a mess and I didn't know where to start. So I just pulled at all the strings and getting stuck. So just with the help of like secular OA, to just taught me that start somewhere with something and small. And then just, you know, as everyone says, one day at a time, sometimes it's 1 hour at a time, one meeting at a time, just I always bring something with me from each meeting that will help in the process. And I feel like I've finally disentangled most of it. And seeing it from like the other side, it's always hard to like, how did I do it? Why did I get stuck there? It's those things, those small things, small changes throughout. But also like step two for me is it's not a one-off. You have to like continue to ask for help, continue to reach out, both for help and for hope, and just borrow strength from the community to like keep going, because somebody smart said once that no matter how far you drive, the ditch is still right there. Just keep going. Thanks, and I'll pass.
Thanks, Linda. And Tam?
Hi, I'm Tam. I'm a compulsive overeater. I love this meeting because this is the first year that I'm planning to do every month of it. And one of the things that I love about this meeting is that given so many options for the steps, when I look at those as we're reading through them, for me, what I've decided is to create my own versions of the steps that really speak to me personally. And part of that means having some connection to the traditional steps, because otherwise I probably won't remember it. So this is what I came up with today. Came to believe that I need help from others and the steps in the others in the program and the steps to work towards sanity and food freedom. And I'm glad to be here. That's all. Thanks.
Thank you, Tam. And I'm going to take a brief turn. I want to echo what I heard Jenny say about hope. The OA promise has a line in it, no longer is there a sense of hopelessness. And whenever we do the OA promise, I kind of stumble on that because I want to say helplessness. No longer is there a sense of helplessness. And I think both of those things are true. Certainly they're true for me. So I like the humanist. We believe that we must turn elsewhere for help. And of course, I see that also as we believe that we must turn elsewhere for hope, because it's my lack of hope that I can do this with the help of the program. It's the lack of hope that I stumble over every time. So I like the principle is hope. And I like that line from the promise, no longer is there a sense of hopelessness. That's it. I'll pass.
Just before we go, turn on. I have one more comment. Other times that we've done, you know, we've discussed the step, the word sanity has like really been kind of like a trigger word for people. And that hasn't really come up in our discussion yet, but I really prefer the word like manageability or something, or, you know, make our lives more manageable instead of the sanity part. I mean, maybe back in the day when this word was there, you know, it had a slightly different meaning, but that is still kind of a bit of a trigger word for me, even though I do like the freethinker step. I wish, you know, maybe restore us to a life of, I don't know, ease, or I don't know what it would be, but the sanity word still kind of bugs me. Anyway, pass.
Thanks, Jenny. We will now take turns reading different authors' insights on step two and then share our thoughts. Again, please raise your hand when you're ready for a turn and say pass when you're done. Okay, now, would someone like to read? Tam.
Beth Ike. The recovery work is learning how to feel and express your feelings, changing my perspective, my perception of myself and others, letting go of self-limiting beliefs, trying new behaviors, allowing myself to take risks and to be vulnerable, clearing away the wreckage of the past and more. I cannot do these things by myself. page 97, and that's from We're Not All Egomaniacs, Adapting the 12 Steps for Alcoholics with Low Self-Esteem. Pass.
Thank you, Tam. Okay, Jenny?
Martha Cleveland and Arliss G. Some of us will reach out to nature, some to the calm, ordered events of everyday living. Some of us will find energy in the support of another person or the wise words in a book. Some of us will become healed by connecting with the deepest parts of our own nature, our internal wiser self. The sources of spiritual power are both outside of us and within us. Page 26 from the Alternative 12 Steps. Pass.
Okay. Thank you, Jenny. Marilyn.
Stephanie Covington. In recovery, we learn to listen to our inner wisdom and acquaint ourselves with what we know to be right and true for ourselves. That's on page 29. Pass.
Okay, thank you. And Matt?
I'll read Jeffrey Munn. Mm-hmm. We are the ones doing the work. Yes, we will get help from others. Yes, social support is important. We aren't doing this completely alone. That being said, we're still the primary driver of this process, not any other entity. Pass.
Okay, Amanda.
OA 12 and 12. This willingness to act on faith then was the key to step two. It was the beginning of the healing process and relief from the food compulsion. We began to see stability in our unbalanced lives. Page 15. And that's from the OA 12 and 12, the 12 Steps and 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous, second edition, 2018. Pass.
Okay, thanks, Amanda. I'll go ahead and read the last one. Serge Pringle. To be totally clear, the central belief of step two is a belief in the process of the 12 steps. It has worked for others and it can work for you. That's page 17 of the Proactive 12 Steps, A Mindful Program for Lasting Change, 6th edition, 2021. We are now open for discussion about these interpretations. Okay, Jenny.
I mean, all of these offer like little bits of insights, but I just really love how Serge Pringle just sums it up so concisely by, you know, saying that the central belief of step two is a belief in the process of the 12 steps. It has worked for others and it can work, you know, for you. It can work for us. I just love how succinctly that is put. And I really do have found that true for myself. And I really want to put in a plug for his book, The Proactive 12 Steps, A Mindful Program for Lasting Change. That book is a free download. He's not getting any money from this. And it's a really great book to read if you want to study the secular steps. I just love, you know, how he's doing this out of the goodness of his heart. I think it's really cool. You know, and I also really love what everybody's talking about, you know, listening to our inner wisdom or connecting to our internal wiser self. That's definitely something that's been important for me. And I know once I started stuffing down all those, you know, voices inside with all the sugar that I was eating, they were becoming a little more clear. And I always think about it as sort of like that movie Pinocchio, where they had like Jiminy Cricket. There were two different versions on either side of Pinocchio's, you know, shoulders. And like one was the good guy and one was the bad guy. And I feel like my good person, I mean, not to be so judgmental, I guess, but the wiser person, I'm listening to that more often and turning to that more often rather than to the self-destructive voice that I also have within myself. Thank you. Pass.
Okay, great. Thanks, Jenny. Tom?
Yes, I too am taken with the Serge Pringle version, which is basically saying having faith or having belief or whatever you want to put it, that the 12 steps will work for you. But the analogy that I like needs to be made is, can you imagine that you're in your kitchen and you're preparing a recipe? And you lay the recipe out, and there's 12 steps in the recipe. And you keep making the recipe, and you do one step and it doesn't work out, and two steps it doesn't work out. And you would never dream of doing that recipe with not doing all of the 12 steps in the recipe. And I happen to believe that the same thing applies in this 12-step program, even though currently we're having the discussion on step two. And I too believe that the steps will work. But it's my understanding that the steps work if you do all of them. And I know there's a controversy in certain places about timing, but I've been in these rooms long enough to see that the people that practice all of the steps all of the time seem to be more successful. And the times that I'm not successful and I'm not progressing and I having problems, particularly around food, is when I stop doing all the steps. Thank you.
Thank you, Tom. Okay, Amanda?
I really connected with quite a few of these. Beth Ike, what she said was very like straight out of the mouth of my therapist. That it was, so I connected with that because that has been a big part of my journey so far. Recovery for me has been a lot about accepting the fact that I am a human and I have feelings and I have things in my past that affected me that I needed to sit with and be uncomfortable with. That was a big part of it for me, is allowing myself to be uncomfortable and not immediately seeking out some sort of soothing thing, mainly food for me. So I really connected with that one, but I also got kind of a chuckle out of Jeffrey Munn's, because it speaks to my type A personality, where it's very kind of blunt and straight and to the point. You know, yes, we're the ones doing the work. Yes, people will help. Yes, there will be social support, and these are all important. But at the end of the day, it comes down to you and you wanting to do this and you wanting to get something out of it. I like that because there's personal accountability. So for me, I think that's important for me to remind myself and kind of give myself a little bit of tough love, not in any harsh way, but just a sense of it's on you and you're strong enough to do this. You're smart enough to find the resources you need to do this. But at the end of the day, you have to want it, right? You have to want sobriety and abstinence and all these things because you know they're better for you. So I think that's important too, at least for me and the way that my mind works. But I also agree that Serge, yes, it's so beautifully wrapped up and concise, just to be able to believe that, yes, this has worked for other people. So having that hope, tying it back to hope, having the hope that it will work for you too, or that you can make it work for you, is really important. And yes, concise. So that's all I have. Pass. Thanks.
Thanks, Amanda. I will take my turn. The one that jumped out at me was the OA 12 and 12, and I'll explain that in a minute. But the willingness to act on faith is the key to step two. And for me, it is, because I have to act on faith. And I'm not talking about faith in God. I'm talking about faith in this program and faith in myself. But the OA 12 and 12 being cited there, I think it's kind of wonderful. I've been in this program for 40 couple years, and I don't want to throw out the baby with the bathwater. I want to remember that we have a basis in a program that has worked for thousands, if not millions, of people. And I like it that it's included in here, because it reminds me of the wisdom that this program comes from. And I like it because it says it's the beginning of the healing process, step two, and relief from food compulsion. I always like to add to that compulsive food behaviors. And then I love the last line, we began to see stability in our unbalanced lives. And that certainly is true for me. I'll echo what I heard somebody else say about insanity. That's always bothered me. Yes, I have disordered and compulsive eating, but I'm not insane. And I have a good, full life in so many other ways that I don't want to think of myself as being restored to sanity. Now, that's just me, but that's my interpretation of it. So I'm going to stop there. Would someone else like to speak? Okay, go ahead, Andrew.
Hi, Andrew, still a compulsive overeater. Sergey's little blurb here that we read, I think that, at least for me, best encapsulates the OA principle of hope. When somebody read that, that just really seems hopeful. Not that the others don't, but that this could be summarized in one word. Mm-hmm. And I'll pass.
Thanks, Andrew. I'm still AJ, still a binger, still recovering from binging. The first one, the Beth ache, really bothered me. I just have to say that. There are so many parts to it. Learning how to feel and express, changing my perception, letting go of self-limiting beliefs, trying new behaviors, allowing myself, etc. And it kind of overwhelms me. And then when I get to this Sergey Pringle, I go, that's so simple. So again, that's just me and the way my brain works.
And I want to let everybody know that her last name is pronounced H. It's kind of, you know, how we don't use last names in this program. Yeah. So she just spelled out the letter H. So.
Oh. Thanks, Jenny. Is it Jenny or Jen?
Jenny.
Okay, thank you. That is all the time we have for today. Thank you all for participating in this group. Together, we get better. If you'd like to hear recordings from past Alternative Step discussion meetings, you can click the Alternative 12 Steps page on secularovereaters.org. Please see the link in the chat for more information.
Thank you for joining us today. If you'd like to support our efforts, please visit secularovereaters.org and consider making a donation.